video game on.
Okay, this is very confusing because I don't know when the video stops playing and when it stops showing on the stream, and it's kind of a delay thing, and I just need to hack it out better for the next show.
I'm
Right.
watching it on
So
my computer and talking live to you on my iPad. So there is a delay.
all right. I think you need to turn off your speakers, because otherwise it will be feedback.
I can do that.
Yeah, cool.
They're off on the computer.
That's great, super. So,
Let me try this. I can do a few little things. There, just turn off the sound.
yeah, it was something on my end as well. So, Kim, what's on your mind today?
Nothing really. I was thinking that 97% bugs me because they use, now that's a delay, because they use a different set of standards for the ones who get to say that climate change is real, but then the ones who say it's not real, well, all their papers get thrown in the garbage because they can't be right. And I think I gave you the links on this guy named Toll. Have you ever heard of him? Hold on a minute. He did a chart. Professor Richard S.J. Toll. He's a professor of economics of climate change in, oh, I can't say it, out of the Netherlands. De Nederland. I love that word.
Yeah, the Netherlands. So, do you want to try to share your screen or something?
I don't
If
know how
that
to
works
do
for you.
that. I sent
You
you the
just
link.
press the on the lower menu. There is the third symbol from the left is a screen with an arrow in it, and then you can share your screen.
Sure.
Yeah, try that.
It's not doing anything for me.
Okay. Or maybe you just want to introduce it yourself, without sharing the
Hold
screen.
on.
Yeah, okay.
Let me see. What does this do? Anything? No. How's that? Did you get a
I
link?
can no, I can't see anything except you and the
It would be in the
room.
chat.
Okay. Right. Let me see. No. You mean the YouTube chat? You mean their YouTube chat?
Obviously. Yes.
Yeah, okay, right. Right, a lot of things to to follow. All right, I can try and look on my iPad for that. But you were saying the 97% something.
The what Cook did, you know who Cook is, right?
No, not really.
Okay, Cook is the cook who came up with the idea of global warming in the first place. And mm-hmm. what he did back in the 90s, I think it was, is he petitioned, let me see here, thousands, I mean, a couple thousand people. And then he got all of their results. And basically what he did was he kept the ones he liked and disqualified and threw out the ones he didn't like. So out of the ones that he kept, which was a really small percentage. Hold on, I'm going to try and find you right numbers here. 7,930 of the papers took no position at all out of the, how many? Okay, it was a lot. Take 10,000.
Mm.
And they didn't have an opinion at all. So those were just gone, right? But he starts by saying there were, can't find the actual number. The 75% of 1,000 papers she reviewed on the question on consensus favored the IPC. And that's what she said none of them dissented. That's because they eliminated so many different people that they sent out like 10,000 requests asking their opinion, right? And hardly anybody answered. But out of the people who did answer, 97% of them agreed. You understand what I mean? And why that number is bogus?
Well, they agreed about what exactly?
That climate change is a bad thing.
Okay. The bad thing. Okay.
A bad thing. You know, they said, yes, climate change, by that man is causing climate change and got to do something about it.
Okay. But basically, the climate narrative then, right?
Right.
It's bad and we need to run around with our heads on fire or run away like headless chicken to fix it.
No, what I'm trying to get at is it wasn't a majority. It never was, not from the start. But they cherry-picked who they were going to include in the study. You follow that?
Yeah.
You go around, and now the other side comes out and says, well, we talked to 30,000 scientists, right? Well, then you got Snopes jumping right in there, and they're saying that, well, yeah, but a lot of your scientists, you didn't include enough data from them, and they rejected certain things. And so you can't say that it was a double standard of who got to be included in the information, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And it was just, I can't.
It says here that we lost your video because something is trying to save bandwidth. I don't know. It's probably the software, the Jitsi thing. But, you know, it may be back at a later stage. We still have your audio, I think. Can you try to say something?
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, you're on audio. And I got your video. Yeah, you're back.
Okay.
Yes.
It might be here. We have connection issues all the time.
Yeah, so when was this 97% figure originated? With what year?
I think it was 2004.
Okay. So on Al Gore's time.
When, it was the time when Al Gore came out with the movie The Inconvenient Truth. That was like their holy Bible, you know, that movie.
And he even got the Peace Prize from Norway for that movie. So that must have been really good.
Norway should be ashamed.
you don't know to the degree to which all Norwegian, at least thinking people in Norway, are ashamed of the entire Peace Prize thing, the Nobel Peace Prize. It's like always a disgrace every single year, almost. You know, sometimes they have some genuine candidates that deserve to have it. You know, just to keep the charade or the illusion of a Peace Prize up, but most of the candidates that you know about are really crap. Either they are warmongers, you know, like your Obama president, or they're outright terrorists.
Yeah. When they gave Obama the Peace Prize before he even did anything, because he needed it to get elected, that was ridiculous. Obama got up and said, I plan to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And then they said, oh, cool. Let us give you the Peace Prize.
It's not even legal, you know, because there are rules for the Peace Prize. You have to do something, presumably something good, between or before the date of such and such, right? Like 1st of January or something in that year. And if you just have been campaigning and promising a lot of things, like in November, December, in the election campaign or something, that doesn't qualify. You know, promising to do something doesn't qualify as a peacekeeper or a peacemaker. You know, it's just absurd.
And you go, why would they do that?
Mm-hmm.
And who is really?
It's basically because Norway is a vassal state. It's in the pockets of the U.S. or whatever the deep state in America wants or says, Norway will jump or ask how high they should jump, right?
I think it's globalist in general, not America, because we're as big of a slave to those people as anybody else.
Absolutely, yeah. So, but it was crazy because I was in downtown Oslo on the day when he got the prize. You know, I lived in downtown Oslo, and there was like army helicopters swirling over the central area all the time. And I even filmed, you know, with my primitive camera. So I videotaped it, and it really looked like Vietnam, something out of Vietnam war movie or something. You know, just to give this very peaceful president the Nobel Prize. You know, and people standing there with machine guns all over downtown, you know, the police and security guards.
Obama is behind a lot of the wars in the last 20 years.
Absolutely. And he more or less invented warfare by bombing weddings in the Middle East by drone or something, you know, and nobody killed so many people with drone attacks as Obama. And he even killed American citizens without a trial or anything from drones, if they were in a Middle East land or something, you know. And if they wanted to take out one bad guy, they would bomb the entire wedding ceremony, you know, with kids and old people and everyone around, you know, just to take one suspect. It's kind of
there's
maddening.
Not right about that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. So, okay.
Now what am I doing here? Okay.
You wanna
go ahead?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you wanted to add something about the statistic about everybody agreeing about climate. Like, I don't see people agreeing about anything about climate. I think everybody is on their own kind of wavelength.
Okay,
it's very
Cook in his little presentation. I found the numbers: 11,944 abstracts between 1991 and 2000 were reviewed. Out of those, 7,930 were arbitrarily excluded, expressing no opinion. That would be 66%. 3,896 were marked as agreeing because some warming. That was 32%. 64 were marked as stating we caused most, which was 0.5%. 41 actually stated we caused most global warming since 1950. Out of the 11,944 abstracts, out of those, only 41 said that man was causing global warming. They just dismissed all the other ones, all of them. Mm-hmm. People don't know that. So I tried to put that out there because it was so hokey. You understand that word, hokey?
Yeah.
Okay. From the very beginning.
Bully, something I think we would say.
Suspect.
Suspect, yeah. Smell a rat or fishy.
Yeah. Fishy, good word. It wasn't right how they did it. But then you go over and read when the other team comes out and says, well, you might have done 12,000, but we get 30,000. And then Stokes comes up and says, oh, what you guys think is just, it's unsustainable, it's unrealistic, it's just, you're full of it, you know? And that's where the 1998 came in. Since 1998, thousands of scientists have rejected the concept of climate change. And there's reason for it. So 9,000 of the people who rejected it were PhDs. 7,000 were master's degrees of science. I mean, these were not stupid people, but I don't even know who it is that gets to have the final word on this. IPCC.
No, I don't know. But when you say reject, they rejected climate change, does that mean that they think it's stable, or, you know?
No, they say that all the data that was presented by these 30,000 scientists, it was inconclusive. Mm-hmm. It was false. Okay. It was poorly done. So we're not paying any attention to what these PhDs and master's degrees people say. 30,000 of them are just disregarded entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the keep putting out that 97% consensus. It is nowhere near that.
Mm-hmm. So then about the human attribution to climate change, is that sort of where the dividing line is?
The what?
Or the human attribution, you know, the cause of the
what they're saying changes? Is humans are not contributing. That it's mostly, mm-hmm. almost mainly, the natural cycle of things, but we don't hear that.
Okay.
Because,
you know, in most cases, it's sort of all of the above, you know, it's some from the column A and some from column B, right? What I would assume is that the disagreement that you're referring to is about humans being a much smaller part of the attribution.
That's right. No, that's why it's not called global warming. They changed it to climate change, because the planet isn't warming like they, you know, it used to be. The whole planet is getting warmer, but that was absurd, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So they said, well,
yeah, obviously the entire planet can never be either warming or cooling at the same time, you know, because, you know,
right.
There are shadows, and, you know, like you talked about Kansas last month, it's like, yeah, you have a mountain and it's sunny on one side and shadow on the other side, right? So obviously it's not the same, right?
It's in the United States, it's so vast, even from here to just 400 miles north, you know. And in Kansas, you don't even have to leave Kansas to see extreme shifts in the climate.
Yeah.
Because where I live, we hardly ever get any snow. But you go into northern Kansas, and they struggle with it up there. It's like being in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then out west.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I found there was a guy who I didn't know who commented on, you know Scott Adams? Scott Adams is the cartoonist who makes Dilbert, you know, the Dilbert cartoon in the newspapers, right? Yeah, so Scott Adams, he's a climate skeptic, you know, he says we can't trust the global temperature or the global ocean temperature. He says it's impossible for anyone to set an exact temperature on the planet. And I think he has some good arguments for that. So he had, I saw on X last night that he had a comment from this other guy who talked about the sea ice and the Antarctic, you know, glaciers, the ice cap and stuff, and he actually said that the statistics in the ice proves that the planet is cooling. That was his argument, right? So he said,
I read a lot about that too.
Yeah, he said that as a whole, right now, the planet is gaining ice, and so it's cooling. And so I thought that was interesting, so I ended up commenting on his tweet after doing the numbers, and I came up with, you know, if you take the average over the last year, over the last 12 months, right, for the Greenland ice and the Antarctic ice, and the Arctic sea ice volume and the Antarctic sea ice volume, you know, all the big ice caps on the planet, except for Himalaya and those, you know, those smaller glaciers in the mountains, you know, in Peru or whatever. I think that, you know, the big stuff, and if you add up all those numbers in a 12-month average kind of way, so it's not just the spring season or the melt season or whatever, but you take the year average, I found that we are melting a net melt of 2.2 gigatons per day. That is the amount of ice that we're losing from both the poles and both the sea and the land every day. And that is, you know, that is 12 months until February, basically the last date that is available, right? So from that, you know, from the way he was putting it, he said that undeniably that means we are cooling, the planet is cooling, you know, the way he did the numbers. But I think in the same way, if you take the net melting of ice averaged over a year, and if that is a positive melt, it's melting more than zero, then obviously the planet has to be warmer now than it was 12 months ago, I think that's fair. So that is kind of the things that I go by, because I totally don't trust Obama or Biden or the EU Commission or, you know, Prime Minister of Norway, any politician on climate. Why would I trust them? They lie, cheat, and steal from they get out of bed till they go back to bed every day.
I always say that they had they had to figure out a way to tax the world. The whole world. And so what does the whole world have in common? Everybody, we have air we breathe. Yeah. That's about it. So they had to come up with a way for an air tax. Really?
Yeah.
And now they tax it and they use it to regulate. And it's part of a, I know it sounds nutty, but I'm not the one doing it. They are.
Mm-hmm.
Making this tax and these regulations on whole nations based on air quality, right? Basically.
Yeah.
And okay, another way to look at it is how many people, let's do the ratio between the number of people on the planet to the entire mass of the planet, right?
Mm, yeah.
The entire global population can fit into the country of France with the same population density as Paris.
Mm.
That's not very many people. That's including China, everything. Everybody could fit into France.
Mm.
And these people are trying to make this argument that little tiny group of mass of people are having this huge impact on our entire atmosphere, the water, the land. It's not even logical.
Well, have you been to France? You know, they smell awfully like garlic. They eat a lot of garlic. So I think they can affect the air around them, at least, you can say.
But they, you know, I have talked to people who don't believe me when I say that I can drive miles without seeing anybody else. You can. You're in Kansas. No. Yeah, yeah. There's no such place. I'm like, dude, I live here.
I do think you're onto something important there, because I would say that my sort of thought about the politicians is that they need to have something to show, to prove that we need them, you know, why would we have people lying to us all the time and taking our money for taxes and stuff? So they have a project that they need to demonstrate for us that we need them. And I think there was a year ago on this channel, we had an episode about the end of woke or peak woke, the peak woke episode, right? I can link it later in the description. And so you know this logo that all the big shot politicians, at least in the EU, they have this this little pin on their chest with the logo of the UN, the colors, you know, you have 23 colors or something like that. It's sort of, one of them is water and the other is climate, and you know, it's equality and all of these things, right? So I sort of took it apart, the entire sort of the Vogue logo from the UN. So you want to do everything good, right? You know, everybody should have water and food and school and, you know, clean air and equality between all genders and, you know, all of these things. And if you look into field after field of these things where politicians say, yeah, we want to improve this, we want to make this better, we want to destroy, exterminate poverty and racial divides. So they have all of these things that they say that they would like to improve or make better. But if you look around you, do you see them making it better? Never. You know, they practically make it, impossible for, let's say, Asian students and ordinary Americans to get into college, because you want to have all the black students and the Latino students, they are sort of preferred to the studies. And so you're trying to right one wrong, but instead you make two new wrongs in a way, because you actually put racism into policy, into law, you know, at least the way Europeans, many Europeans see it. If you have a racist policy at the university, that's people of these sexes and these skin colors are preferred, you know, with lower grades to get into the university or the college. That is a racist policy, or at least the way we learned in school, you know, when we learned about racial inequality and also gender inequality, because, you know, we were taught that women and men had the same rights, the same basic rights, and the same rights to study and educate and to work. But that is not how, at least, America is today. You get different treatments and different priorities.
It's been like that a long time. Since I was in high school, 40 years or more.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's just getting more blatant.
Mm-hmm.
When my daughter was applying for grants at school, for every grant that was available to the white students, there were 20 for the black students.
Okay.
And the white people did not have access to the grants that were for the black students, but the black students had access to all of those grants. Plus, they were also allowed to compete for the other scholarships and grants.
Okay.
That's not fair.
It's at least racist. You could say that you want it to be like that, you know, if you are that kind of politician, but it's not neutral, and I would say it's racist. You know, if skin color is what you go by, that is by definition a racist policy, I would say.
I don't know why people can't see that, but they don't.
No.
So, and it, this is going to sound bad, but the quality of education, they just keep lowering the standards and lowering the standards.
Mm.
And by the time, there have been studies that show that that people have worse ACT scores after they graduate college than they did going in.
Oh my God, is that possible?
Yes. Have you ever heard the phrase dumbing down of America?
No.
It was something that I originally heard from, you remember Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
Oh, he was my hero.
Okay.
But he was the one I first heard about it, where they're deliberately trying to make American students not so bright.
Stupid. Yeah, stupid. The stupidification. Okay. The dumbing down of America. Dumbing down, is that what you said?
Okay. Dumbing down, yes.
Dumber. Yeah.
And you go out there, and I talk to people all the time who have no idea what's in the Constitution. And that's one thing, one area. People can't do math anymore in their head.
Mm.
And because they rely on their telephones for everything. And I'm not good at math, but I do better than a lot of people, young people, in my head, you know. So they don't know history, they don't know fractions, they don't know even the world around them, what's happening. It's just really sad. So
I would guess it's easier, you know, it's easier to be
control.
A politician or an administration if people can't check your lies or can't check your statements, right?
If they're not smart enough to ask in the first place critical mm-hmm. questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have the, they just mm-hmm. weren't taught how. And it's not entirely their fault because they never learned in the first place.
Right.
It's sad. It really is. Uh-oh.
Absolutely. I'm just trying to get a link over to our friend in Calcutta. So
hang on a minute, I gotta get a cord.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, this is challenging. Yeah, so I'm trying to go on my phone and find the link to this thing. Yeah, just go on a bit when I do this, please.
Well, I don't know what else to say. I mean, we have raised I think at least two generations at this point of people who, through no fault of their own, because you can't, how can you know what you don't know if you never knew it in the first place? But it makes them easier to control if they're basically ignorant. And
yeah.
And I think that's what they're going for. But I just keep wondering who this they is, right? And what are they trying to do and why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's what your president called the deep state, isn't it? You know, it's the permanent government, or you know, the people behind the
curtain,
or whatever. Yeah. But that's a problem, because they're sort of they have launched themselves into both parties, so they got kind of behind the scenes in both the big parties, aren't they?
I'm glad you see that.
Hmm?
I'm glad you can see that.
Yeah. It's
both parties.
It's what they call swamp creatures, you know, when you talk about draining the swamp. You have swamp creatures in both sides of the aisle or whatever. And
they're hard.
I think there's...
But, you know, I think the fact that Trump is so unpopular suggests that he's really on the right track.
Well, he's got a point. You know, if you have a swamp full of creatures, you got to drain the swamp. That sounds, you know, sounds reasonable. And, you know, Scott Adams, to go back to Scott Adams from Dilbert, he says that, you know, he's sort of a big thinker, and he says that if you have an empire or a country like America, a very powerful country, right, who has been going around the world changing or affecting governments and elections and queuing some governments, and you know, they've been going around the world doing that in other countries. So he then says it's inevitable that at some stage that power from America is going to use those powers in America, you know, against their own democratic institutions. Because, for instance, you have the military-industrial complex, right? Like Eisenhower talked about. It's a danger in itself that if they get so powerful, they will try to game the system, and if you have in an election, if you have two candidates, one candidate wants to spend a gazillion billions on war and armaments and stuff, and the other one wants to only spend half of that, you know, half a gazillion billions, then obviously the deep state swamp creatures will want the first candidate who wants to give more money to their sort of industries and their stocks and to their systems, to their clique, basically. And if you have like 50 or 100 years of experience of tricking and gaming the system of government in other countries, like I would state that America has, then America is not really very different from that, because you can do the same trickery in America. It's
outside of the country, I don't think they understand that we have our government and they're off doing their thing, whatever that is, you know, what you're talking about, the deep state and all that. The American people are still the American people, in spite of what they do. We don't, a lot of us don't agree with what they're doing. Absolutely. And we don't support it. And our voices aren't heard. And that's very frustrating, because the whole world thinks we're all like our government, and we're not. We're trying to fix it, but it's so corrupt. I don't know how we're gonna do it. I really don't. I sometimes get very discouraged, because I don't even think our elections are working anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, Scott Adams is very funny, because he documents how in America, this thing isn't working, schools are not working, roads are falling apart, bridges are collapsing. But at least we have one thing in America that is totally functioning and is not crumbling, and that's the election system, he says, with a grin on his face. You know, he says, all of these other things in America are crumbling, falling apart, and corrupted, but at least we can be 100% sure that the election system and counting of the votes is 100% flawless and fair, he says. So I think that's a pretty funny way of summing up, you know.
So he agrees, And then you got all these people out there say, oh no, everything's fine with our elections. It's not. This mail-in stuff, that was bad. And that's what really made a joke out of our election system in the big way. Wherever there's mail-in ballots, there's corruption. It's just that simple. They should not be allowed to do it. Back in the 70s, when we were serving in Europe, we had to, my husband and I had to use absentee ballots and mail in because we couldn't be here. But man, we had to provide all kinds of proof, you know, why we weren't going to be able to vote from the state we came from. And now they just, here, send me a ballot. It's really changed.
So you served in Europe, in France or Italy or
Germany?
Germany. Okay.
I love Germany. I love Germany.
So what part of Germany were you stationed?
I was in Stuttgart and Fulda.
Stuttgart. Okay. Yeah.
Stuttgart.
Nice. So, du sprichst ein bisschen Deutsch dann?
Ja, ich kann ein bisschen Deutsch sprechen.
It's not my forte, but I'm pretty good at understand, you know, on TV series and movies I can understand German, you know, which is more important to me, that I can understand it's spoken without reading any subtitles or whatever. That's very nice, I think.
You're doing better than I can now. You know, the last time I was in Germany was before the wall went down. So it was different back then, and my friends in Europe now, you know, from the German people, friends, they say that it's so different. and I probably wouldn't like it anymore.
Now it's kind of going down the drain, and not because they tore down the wall, but you know, because of all other things that's been going down.
Does Germany have the same immigration problems that we do?
they were like, you know, Angela Merkel, right, from Eastern Germany. When she was still head of state, she would say, we want 1.5 million people from Syria or whatever, you know. So she got 1.5 million, you know, young angry men from Syria. It's kind of how to destroy, how to dismantle a country in shortest amount of time. Yeah.
Now, there were a lot of Muslims there already in the '70s. When I wrote public transportation, and we went through a lot of the districts, and the army advised us, do not get off the train in this place, because that was when they were hijacking airplanes. You remember that?
Yeah. 70s. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a crazy period.
There was an anti-American sentiment even back then. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we were not allowed to wear our uniforms out in public because that made us targets, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Merkel, her plan was probably that she wanted to have a lot of Gastarbeiter, you know, foreign workers, you know, to boost the the German economy, but that was before Biden blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, you know, the gas pipeline from Russia. So now they have no energy, so, you know, and their industry is crumbling because they already dismantled their nuclear power station. So they don't have nukes and they don't have gas from the pipeline. And the funny thing is that while they have the Green Party in the government, they are mulling or considering to reopen some coal-fired power stations, you know, with the Green Party at the helm of it. So, it's kind of...
They don't have a choice. It's either that or no power.
Yeah.
I've been reading they're having trouble with their solar panels and wind turbines too.
Absolutely. So maybe if Merkel was still in charge, she could put 2 million foreign refugees on you know what you call it, exercise bicycles, you know, on bicycles to generate power. Maybe that would be a solution. I don't know. So.
And the moment he won't need so much power.
I don't know. It's kind of. I think the entire planet is sort of falling apart. As it seems. It's very hard. You know, if somebody put a gun to your head and asked you what will the world look like in 5 years, I would have really big trouble answering that.
Thankful that I'm as old as I am, and I hope I don't live to see what's coming.
Well, that sounds ominous. I'm kind of more optimistic, but you know, like, yeah, in Norway we had this philosopher at the university while I was, you know, at the same time I was at the university, and he was a deep ecologist. He coined the term deep ecology, which is different from this run-of-the-mill enviros who are sort of shallow or, you know, just flapping their mouths about whatever, paper straws and stuff. And so this deep ecologist, when he was asked by the press, Arne, are you an optimist? And he said, oh yeah, I'm an optimist for the 22nd century, but I'm a pessimist for the 21st century, he said. So that's kind of what you said, that doesn't look very good for the near future. You know, that's going to be, it's going to be get a lot worse before it gets better, I would say.
When I, like we were talking earlier about young people and how I don't want to say they're dumb, but they're
so, but they're dumb.
Let's put it another way. They take a lot for granted, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have a huge problem with a work ethic. And man, that's where survival starts. You got to work. And that just right over their heads. And without that, they have so much to overcome in order to fight what's coming for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, it's, I think a lot of them are just going to give up when the Wi-Fi goes. You know, if they lose their Wi-Fi and things get a bit rough, they'll be like, oh, my Google Maps doesn't work. How can I get to the forest or the mountain if my Google Maps is out, right?
They won't know how to do anything.
No. It's kind of like, you know, a couple of years ago back in Norway, I was going in the forest, in the woods, orienteering with a map and a compass.
Trying to find... I know what that is.
Yeah. So I did that with lots of friends, very good friends. And some of the new people we met and befriended there, they were using GPS, you know, use this battery-powered GPS thing in the forest. And I was like, yeah, but what do you do if that runs out of battery? What do you do if there's a rainstorm and it flatlines and you basically lose it because of no power? And what if you smash it in a rock or whatever? So they were walking in the forest without map, you know, and without a compass. And it just came across to me as kind of a bad thing to rely upon. You know, it can help you. You can have it sort of as an extra helper, but you know, I wouldn't forget my skills with a compass and a map.
I did teach my kids how to read maps, so they didn't learn that in school.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Do you know how to use to plot coordinates? You know, like 4 digits, 6 digit, 8 digit coordinates on a map.
Yeah.
I do that. With you gotta have the protractor thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Protractor. I don't know that in Norwegian, so you know. But anyway, yeah.
It's a little clear plastic thing that looks like that.
Oh yeah. Okay.
You put it on the map to find your position. What do you call that?
Well, I just use a compass and I orient it to the north, and then I find my direction that I'm supposed to go to get to this, to the point B. Yes, I've been doing this since I was in third grade, I think. Me and my buddy.
That's fourth grade. Fun.
Yeah. It's very funny because you through doing that and through gaining that skill, you kind of get a sense of that you are not reliant on your scout leader or, any grown-ups or your teacher or whatever, because you can find your way on your own. So you're self-reliant in a way when you have a map and a compass.
You can find your way through. On roads either.
No, you can go totally off road and sneak your way through the woods and come out far south of where you started. And actually, once me and my good buddy, who was also orienteering, right, we're going to take some posts that were in a guidebook in a competition, blah 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 guidebook. So we're going to take this orienteering post. So we went to the neighboring county, quite far away from Oslo, And we walked for 10 hours through the woods, you know, to the west all the time, through another county, and then to Oslo County in the end. And on that 10-hour trek through the woods, we were actually almost arrested by police because they asked some questions, you know, where are you coming from? No, we walked from this place in the other county. And they said, yeah, right, you two walked all that way through the woods? They wouldn't believe us, you know, but we were that skilled. And we had done nothing wrong, of course. We just walked through the woods, taking these orienteering posts. It's crazy, you know, and how society has become when you're almost arrested by police just for being skilled at orienteering, right? Yeah.
The whole world is changing.
Madness. You froze up a bit. Did you say something?
Yes. I say the world is changing. Oops.
I think maybe if you switch off the video on your menu, because I think the bandwidth.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me try something else. I'm gonna do this. Now, how are we doing? Let's give it a second.
The audio is very patchy, so I can't really hear. And
well, I got off my computer to read.
Kind of breaking up. But yeah, maybe if it doesn't improve,
better
doesn't no. really improve. So I don't know. Maybe we should just call it a day. You know, it's been almost an hour. So
yeah, I got things to do anyway.
I don't really hear what you say, so maybe we should just, you know, wave goodbye to the stream and to the audience and try to come back stronger next week.
We'll try.
Yeah. Super. Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.